This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
Thank you, Father. Thank you that we will wait for you, and on your words we will rely. There's no other word would we want to follow, Father, only your word would you want to share with us. And Father, I pray as would we coming this afternoon to listen to you, what you want to share with us, that our hearts are open, that we haven't got things which are keeping our hearts closed, that we're not hearing the message what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father, but our hearts will be open and that your words will be shared with us, because we rely on you, Father. We are waiting for you to listen what you want to share with us today. And if there's anything from this week or this morning or this month or maybe this year which is between us and you at the moment, Father, which is keeping us away from you, that we cannot hear your word, which is blocking it, then I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that it is not going to manifest over here, that we can hear what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. Thank you that we can come as your children to our Father, because we can call you Father through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving love. This is what I have got to preach about this afternoon. So when I got it, I also was a little bit puzzled of what is it really what God wants me, what I should share with you today. And he downloaded me a few things, so which I feel what God is telling me what I've got to share today. But I want to first start with the surroundings what we've got at the moment. We are, I think, 2 weeks' time, Christmas is over. And Christmas time is a time in a year when people are giving gifts. You're receiving gifts. You always have got a giver and a receiver. Christ wasn't born on that day. Esther already mentioned it. Somewhere else in the year. So it's not really the birthday of Christ which has been celebrated. And as what we'll hear just now as well, we are celebrating Christ, the birth, his death, and his resurrection each and every day of the year. It's not limited only to a certain part of the year. We are celebrating it each and every day, what God has done for us. And if we are giving gifts, and I'm already always reminded of that one thing, I think it was with my mother-in-law, that she received something from somebody, and then she didn't really like it, and then she put it in the cupboard. And then later on, when it was that person's birthday, so he gave the same thing back again to her, without keeping in mind it was actually a present what she received from her. So if you've got something like that, just write a name on it or anything like that, that you're not going to come in the same situation. But that could happen, because there are a lot of things what people are buying and what they are giving to somebody else. But is it really the present, or is it the thought behind it, or is there something else? And if you've got to give a present to a family member and you don't know what to give, ask God. Pray about it. Ask if there's a word which you've got for that specific person. I would have been very impressed if I would have received a present. We are not in that habit of giving presents because we are between the Netherlands and South Africa, so we haven't got Santa Claus and we haven't got Christmas. We are lucky, actually, because it's cheaper, much cheaper. But if somebody would say, I prayed, and this is what God gave me, and I'm giving it to you, that's an awesome present to receive. Much more than a pair of socks, which you already have got, or other things. But this is the time of presents, what people are giving, and what people are giving, and what people are receiving. And God is talking to us about the biggest gift what he's ever given, and that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the biggest gift. Eunice got engaged this week, and she's got a ring on her finger now, which she received from Chris. I don't think that your niece is the whole week looking at that finger and walking the whole time around and just looking at that ring and forgetting about Chris. If it is correct, each and every time she says, "This one I got from Chris. Where is Chris? I just want to thank him again. I'm just looking forward to spend time with him." That's actually where it is going about. And it's the same with Jesus Christ. We shouldn't forget, if I can put it bluntly, we shouldn't forget God for that gift what he has given us with Jesus Christ. God has given me three things which are awkward, random, to talk about the gifts. The one is that I've got to speak about Jesus Christ, the love and the obedience. I've got to speak about the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, and about unity. Somewhere they are linked to each other, but I trust that the Holy Spirit also has got a message for you this afternoon so that you say, "Yes, that was for me. I don't know, I'm the postman today." Now I'm going to start with the first one of Jesus Christ, love and obedience. God loves his creation, and he wants to be involved in his creation. And when Adam and Eve made a mess of it, he had a plan, and that we can see right through the Old Testament. And then if we take a book like Isaiah, then we already read in Isaiah 9, we can read about the prophecy that Jesus is going to come. "For unto us a child is born." And these type of verses we will hear quite a lot in different churches as well this time of the year. "Unto us a son is given." It's for our benefit. It is unto us a son is given. "And the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In the same Isaiah 53, so this one is about the birth of Christ, then we can read of what Christ has done, that he is going to die for our sins. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. So God already put it in Isaiah's heart to prophesy these things. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. "Surely he has borne our griefs, he has borne our sufferings, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." By his bruises we are healed. There are people, and I can somewhat relate to it, they say, "Yes, Jesus died for our sins, because we would have died otherwise for our own sins, for what we've done wrong." But actually what is wrong with us, that we have got a disease, because we're following the wrong person. We're not following God, we're not following Jesus, we've got a disease in our soul. Our mind, our will, and our emotions are going the wrong way. And that's for that disease what Jesus actually died. For that disease which is giving those type of problems, our griefs, our sorrows. And by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes the relationship between us and God is restored again. God's gift is love. He wants to give. Love and giving is linked up with God. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." Love and gave. The two are linked up to each other. "For his begotten Son, whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." We read the same in Galatians 2:20. "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It's a giving love, what we see from God over here. And if we take love, then giving must be actually synonym with it. It must be exactly the same. Because if we've got love and we don't give, then it's actually not love. I can tell Renee I love her, that if I don't make her a cup of coffee or I don't bring her breakfast, I don't think she's going to be too happy about it. That's not really showing love. So love and giving, those two are going into each other. They are linked up to each other. Those who are married, they are well aware of it. And those who are going to get married, please remember that. Love, giving is part of love. It's critical. It's included in it. And the measure of what our giving is the measure of our love. And the more you give of yourself, the more of your time, the more of your attention, the more of your affection, the more of your patience, the more of your treasure, the more you love. The more you're prepared to give, the more you're showing that you love. And this is what Jesus also said in John 15, verses 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his own life for his friends. This is the most valuable thing what we've got. This is our life. Because if we see how much money we spent to keep us alive, then you can see this is the most precious thing what we've got. And if you are prepared to give it for your friend, because this Jesus is speaking to his disciples around him, he is prepared to lay his life down for his friends and for us. Total commitment. And if we want to love, and if we desire to follow Jesus, then giving that love is not an option. We've got to give it. If we receive the gift, we acknowledge the gift. Different ways of doing it. Certain people have got a habit, if they receive a gift, they open it, they have a look in what's inside, and they say, thank you, exactly what I needed. There are others who will take it, they will put it one side, and then later on when the people already left, then they start opening up, and they will send them a card afterwards. Different habits, different way of doing it. But if we receive a gift, we acknowledge it, and we want to get the benefit from the gift, and therefore we've got to be obedient to the giver. God gave his son, so we've got to be obedient to what God is asking us to do. And with the other two things as well, of what the Holy Spirit is concerned in about unity, I'm taking quite a few verses, a few verses out of John, between John 13 and John 17. And I just want to quickly give a little bit of background of what happened before that. It was that 6 days before that Passover, Jesus' feet were anointed by Mary in Bethany, that is in John 12, what we can read. And then the next day, they entered into Jerusalem. And then it's talking about that night, the last night where Jesus was along with his disciples. And that is in John 13, what we can read over there. They were busy with the meal, and then suddenly Jesus stands up and he starts washing the feet of the disciples. Now, if we take a look at what Jesus has been doing each and every time, it's a miracle. But washing the feet of somebody else is not a miracle. But most probably there are a few in the room over here who can say, if somebody is washing your feet or you're washing the feet of somebody else and you show humbleness, miracles are happening. Things are changing into the spiritual realm. Those who've done Encounter 2 will testify about it, that if you receive that somebody is washing your feet and praying over you, things are changing. But this is what Jesus is doing. Half in a meal, he stops and he washes the feet. But he's also washing the feet of Judas, knowing that the next day he's going to be betrayed, or actually that night, he's going to be betrayed by Judas. Would we have done something like that? If we knew that he was going to betray you? Yes, there was a Peter who wanted to know when Jesus said, there's somebody who's going to betray me. And Peter said to John, can you find out? He couldn't send him quickly a WhatsApp and said, just find out from Jesus who it is. And I think Peter more or less also had something in his mind. If he knew who it was, he was just going to help that person a little bit, because he was typically that guy. He would use certain ways to sort out a story. And Jesus is saying, the one who I'm giving bread. And I read about it, and I read it again, and I read it again. I cannot actually figure out what's behind it. But Jesus took bread, dipped it, and then gave it to Judas. And then the only explanation what I can find is, is that it is an honor that if you receive from the highest person, if you receive bread which has been dipped, if it's given to you. So even up to the last moment, Jesus was humbling himself by washing your feet, but he was also recognizing Judas. He was still giving him an option, and he gave him that bread. And then it says, Satan entered him. And then Jesus said, do what you've got to do. But Judas received that bread, and then he left. And then once Judas went out of the room, it's nearly like it was a black and white picture beforehand. Suddenly color comes in. Jesus starts talking. And that's what we can read then in 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 17. Also the high priestly prayer what Jesus is doing over there. And if you've got time, read it. Today we're going to visit. We're going to be with the disciples. We're going to listen to what Jesus is saying to them with those few verses, what we're going to quote over here. John 14, verses 15 and 21. He's talking about love and commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you want to have a relationship with me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, I can see that you love me. Jesus is very straightforward with that. If you love me, keep my commandments. In 21, he's more or less repeating it again. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. He who has my commandments and keep it, it's he who loves me. And he who loves me will keep my commandment. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And the Father will love those person who keep the commandments. We see that the relationship over there, that critical and that relationship which is so needed over there, that Jesus is saying, God will love you if you keep my commandments. And true love for God cannot be separated from obedience. It's one of the things what they said about Methuselah as well, that he was obedient. And that's why he was recognized. So it's not a matter of just to say, I love Jesus Christ, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. But the proof of the pudding comes actually, what are we doing afterwards? Are we obedient? Are we doing what God is asking us to do? And it maybe sounds work, but it's actually a pleasure for us to do, knowing what God has done for us. So I've spoken about the love and the obedience, what we can read about in John then. And then it comes to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor. And Jesus is talking to them, talking to the disciples, and he's basically preparing them that they, in the next verse, that they're going to read about the Holy Spirit, which is going to be received. And he's talking there in John 14, verses 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you are asking anything in my name, I will do it. If I say to you that you are going to do greater works than Jesus, you must probably going to smile and say, sorry, you've got a wrong person. Jesus is saying that to us. Now, where's the blockage? Is it the words of Jesus who are incorrect? Or is it us who do not believe that we can do it? If we take a look at that small country, Israel, where Jesus has been walking around, and he went a little bit into Samaria as well, that's the only area where Jesus actually focused. He hasn't been to America or to South America or to China or to New Zealand or Australia or whatever. Jesus wasn't there. He left it for us to do. He trained those few people, those 12, less one, less Judas. And he's telling them, work what you are going to do is going to be greater. Because Jesus in the 3 years could only heal such an amount of person, and then the 3 years were over. We can do much more. And I'm talking about believers. We can do much more. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, that's the qualifying thing. If we believe in him, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus is leaving the scene. He's not involved with the healing anymore. Yes, still the healings are happening. We are still doing the healings. We're doing the healings in Jesus' name, as it says in that, in verse 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you're asking anything in my name, I will do it. Each and every prayer, if it is for a healing, that we use it in Jesus' name, that we use that phrase. We're not praying through other saints or through other bodies or anything like that. Jesus is very strict and very clear over here. It's in his name that we've got to do it. Because this conversation with Jesus also has with his disciples, it's the last conversation that he had before he was being arrested. Now, when you've got your last conversation with a person before he's leaving, then you're really talking about the critical stuff. You're not going to talk about the weather. And you're not going to talk about the corona or about Google or about WhatsApp or anything like that. You're talking about critical stuff. And this is what Jesus is talking about over here. It's just a very small sentence. But we can do more. We can do greater works as what Jesus has been doing. But it's still, it is for Jesus what we are doing it. And Jesus, it's his desire that we, as followers, should continue the work what he did. That we should spread the message, we should lead people to Christ, that we should heal, that we should send out demons. And those type of things we maybe say, I don't know what, I don't know where. But we try to do it as church, as Shofar Utrecht. So if you say, well, I would like to know more about, let's say, sending out demons or anything like that, please ask. Because we would like to do what God is telling, what Jesus is telling his disciples. We want to continue with that. And it will not happen if we're doing it by own effort or we're doing it by spirituality. That if we say, okay, for 2021 we've got a target, there are going to be 10 healed, there are going to be 15 demons sent out, and there we go. No, we just listen what God is saying to us. And then we pray, and then we say, and when we do whatever God is asking us to do. And then Jesus is talking about the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And I will pray to the Father. This is now just after he said, I go to my Father. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Helper. Another Helper. It's not going to be something else. It's not going to be another of a different kind. It's another of the same kind. So the Holy Spirit is basically continuing what Jesus has started. And he will give you another helper. And the helper is a counselor, where Jesus is counseling for us, where he is an advocate for us in heaven. So the Holy Spirit is for us an advocate and a helper for here for us on earth. And that he may abide with you forever. Once we start, and once we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, once we've got that spirit and spirit connection, it's going to be forever. It's not going to be a matter of that it's going to be stopped. We can stop it. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We can take the decision. But from God's side, he's going to bring his side. And then the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you, and he will be in you. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he will be in you. And there it says, the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. And that's always a difficult thing in conversations as well. If you speak with other people and if you're talking about it, God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit and told me, I've got to pray for you. And then if the people do not know God and it, do not even know anything about the Holy Spirit, then they are looking at you and they think, what are you talking about now? What Holy Spirit, what is it? What spooky thing is it now? And the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of Jesus, who is the truth. And the Spirit of truth testifies the truth. He enlightens the people's mind to the truth. He also exposes the untruth. It's also showing us what is incorrect and what is not correct. And he guides Jesus' followers into all truth. And he comes alongside only to those who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. If we're really busy with God in spirit and in truth, then the Holy Spirit will be helping us. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he's doing two things. He will teach you all the things and bring you to remembrance all the things that I said to you. Because I think in the 3 years, Jesus must have said a lot of words to the disciples. And a lot of them maybe went in one side and went out the other side. Because you continuously have got Jesus walking with you. But the Holy Spirit is reminding. But then the Holy Spirit is also teaching us. So he is going to help us. He is going to teach us all the truth. He's going to tell us what is exactly necessary. But how can it be any different as what we must have a relationship? We must allow the Holy Spirit to speak into us. We must spend time with God. We must spend time in our inner room that we can speak to him, that he can teach us, and that he can bring to remembrance all the things what is necessary. When the Spirit's character is evident in the lives of Christians, they will have greater spiritual power and will be more effective in communicating Christ's message to others, which is the main purpose of the baptism in the Spirit, because we're receiving power to communicate the message of Jesus to others. And that's actually the whole key verse of the book of Acts, the Acts from the disciples, from the apostles. They were bringing the gospel that was needed. We need the Spirit. We need the power that we can bring the message, what Jesus is asking us that we should bring. Now I'm coming to the unity. And I thought, but why Jesus and Jesus going, the Holy Spirit coming, it makes sense. And I thought, but why unity? Why must we talk about unity? Why is it necessary about unity? And then I see that a lot of times, and I've got to really say it with respect as well, that there are churches who are giving comments about other churches, and they're spending a lot of time on it and a lot of effort to criticize other churches instead of coming together and say, okay, but where do we agree on? Last Thursday, we were 4 people who went to evangelize from 3 different churches. We didn't talk about where are we differing in what the church is concerned, and the one church is maybe doing this and the other church is maybe doing that. That's why we're not interested in it. We're interested in bringing the gospel to the people who need it. That's what it is, because that's the instruction from Jesus. I'm not quite sure where the unity fits in, if there's somebody who's got a message out of it today. So I'm bringing you what I felt that God is putting on my heart over here. And that is out of the part where Jesus is doing that high priestly prayer. It's an awesome prayer in John 17, the whole 17. It's about that prayer, what Jesus is speaking to God, speaking to the disciples, and also speaking to the followers. And in 17 verses 21, he says, that they all may be one, as your Father are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And if we are being one, then we have got the same purpose. We've got the same idea. We've got the same mindset. That's what we want to do. We want to bring the gospel. It's not about an organizational. It's not about to make one big organization. And once we've got all the churches together, then we're going to evangelize. No. We're going to evangelize. That's what it is critical. That's what necessary to do. And I just wrote down a few points, factors which could maybe be missing, where we're missing then completely unity. among Christ followers. Jesus prayed and said, to be one and not to become one. We've got to be one in our mind, in our mindset. It's not that we've got to be one church and then we are perfect. We can be different churches. Some churches, they draw people to the gospel through their worship. At the moment, we haven't got a worship leader. The worship leader, what we've got, is on sabbatical. We're waiting for somebody to get a visa to help us over here. We've got somebody else who's going to help us for the time being. That's fine. For us, it is more important, what is God saying? What is God saying in our words? And how can we be reminded again with the sermon over here, what God asked us to do, that you can be equipped, that we can go out, and that we can be what God wants us to be. Because it's nice if we go back home and if we say, oof, those songs, those 12 songs, what we send over, what we've been singing over there were awesome. And then next week, you only go back for the 12 songs. We wouldn't like to be the church. We would like to be the church where you say, well, all right, now I know who I am. I know who I am and I know what I'm going to. And I want to do what God is telling me to do. I don't want to miss out on that. I want to be obedient, is what we've heard just now. If you've got a musical talent, you're not aware of it, please look in your cupboard. If you've got it, bring it. Then we maybe can include you into the worship team over here. That there should be a spiritual unity of a heart, a mind, and a purpose. I've got to repent as well. I've been sitting in many, many meetings, church meetings, one meeting after the other meeting. And it was just about structures, and it's about organization, and all those type of things. And missing actually the point of what God is asking us to do. And I've been having invitations over here as well to be invited, of to be included in some meetings and things like that. Then I prayed about it, and I asked, I said, Lord, do you want me to go? Because yes, I can maybe contribute, I can maybe bring an input over there. The Lord says no. Then I say, thank you for that, for the invitation. Prayed about it. I feel God says no. So we've got to be spiritual unity of heart, mind, and purpose. And there must be an uncompromising commitment to honoring Christ, that we're staying true in His Word, and that we are leading others in a personal relationship with God. And that is for us so important. This is where we focus on, the relationship with God. This is so important because that has got eternal value. All the other things, if you've read the Bible in so many days and all this, no, it's about a personal relationship, that you know God, that God knows you, because that's everlasting life if we know God. And then the last thing is that people will know that Jesus was sent by the Father to bring them back into a relationship with God. Without living in unity, their testimony lacks credibility, and few people in the world will take it seriously. It was something like, I think, maybe 8 or 9 years back, me and Renee were in Prague, and there was a tour guide who showed us to different places, and we were talking about what type of belief, or people going to a Catholic church, or people going to a Protestant church, is there maybe more Orthodox church, or what, and so on. And then the guy said, he said at a certain time there was a real fight in Prague between Protestants and Catholics. And the result of the fight between them, I don't know who won, if we can talk about a victor and somebody who was victorious. The problem of the result of that is afterwards that the people said, if those people are fighting during the week and they go on Sunday to a church, it's not exactly the same Bible, but they pray to the same God, what type of belief is that? And that's why a lot of people in Prague are not interested in Christianity, they're not interested in God, because they say, if those two people so opposing were fighting under the banner of God and they're not really living it out, then I don't want to know anything about a Christianity. So we sometimes also have got to be very careful what we're saying, criticizing maybe other people, or maybe go in a fight with other people. The credibility what we've got is very important. Like I said in the beginning, a little bit of a strange thing that it's about the love of God, the giving love, that He gives that love to us. And He's a giving God. He gives. And we're sometimes a little bit bad in giving back. But we try to give back. We try to do what God is asking us to do. We try to be obedient what God is asking us to do. And then the Holy Spirit, the helper. And the Holy Spirit is something which is, for a lot of people a little bit of a difficult thing to talk about. I've been majority of my life in a church where it was more about the Father and the Son and not about the Holy Spirit. And I've heard many sermons, but I never heard sermons about the Holy Spirit. I never heard about that you could be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I've never heard it. Because people didn't know what to do with it, so they didn't speak about it. And it's still happening. And then the last one, what I said, is also the unity, that we've got to be one, that we should be focused on the same goal, on the same target, on the same mindset. We want to bring the gospel. This is what Jesus is asking. And we can do it. Jesus told us, you can do more, is what He has been doing. God's gift for us is His love. And through His love, He gives us. And God has got a giving love for us. He wants to give to us. And we've got to receive.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.